encouraging every step. You're listening to Walk FM. My name is Kyle, and today I'm doing our Community Matters interview with David Michael. He's the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity of the Tri-State. Used to be known as the Huntington Area Habitat for Humanity, and they had to change the name a couple of years ago because they actually expanded their coverage to now serve some families not just in West Virginia, but also in parts of eastern Kentucky and in parts of southeastern Ohio. David, for those who maybe they've heard of Habitat for Humanity, but they don't know how this all really works, can you give us a little bit of background on what you guys do and who you serve?
Certainly. Habitat for Humanity, well, we were founded in 1990 as an affiliated organization of Habitat for Humanity International with the initial mission of eliminating substandard housing and homelessness, not only in our community, but worldwide, because Habitat for Humanity International works in not only just the United States, but also in 70 countries around the world. So we use a lot of different things to accomplish that mission of elimination of substandard housing and homelessness in our community. Volunteer labor, discounted and donated building materials. We partner with some of our local vocational schools with the trades classes, electrical, plumbing, heating and air, carpentry, primarily, to help us helps those students get out of the classroom and apply what they've learned in the classroom on site. And then the population that we serve is, if you want to get into the technical definition of it, it's 30 to 60% of the area median household income is what someone's household income has to fall within. So translating that to today's dollars and cents, we follow HUD's, U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development's income guidelines. And for a family of four, minimum is $26,500, maximum is $37,200 of annual household income. So we provide homeownership opportunities for folks that fall within those income guidelines and have a need for better housing, and then are willing to partner with us on the what we call sweat equity, and that's the part where the homeowners, future homeowners, work on not only their own house, but the houses of others. They can volunteer in our Habitat Restore. They could accompany us to a fundraising event, and they would get sweat equity credit for that, and then we have a required set of homeowner education classes that every future homeowner has to participate in and complete before they can reclose on their house and they would move in.
Okay. So they have classes that you have to take if you go through the program?
Yes, sir, they do. Those range. We're fortunate here with our Habitat affiliate. We have a licensed mortgage loan originator and HUD-certified homebuyer counselor on staff. And she conducts those classes, our homeowner education classes, and they cover everything from finances and budgeting to, just what it means to be a good homeowner. Our construction supervisor partners with her on those classes to do a home maintenance class. There's the legal side of homeownership. Most 95% or better of our home buyers are first-time home buyers, so they've never had to go buy or go investigate what it means to find homeowners insurance. So we help them with that and kind of assist in that process. So there's a lot that goes into those, and they get sweat equity credit for completing those classes as well. And they are mandatory. Like I said earlier, they have to complete those homeowner education classes or we don't close on the sale of their house to them.
I see. So honestly, these classes, they sound like they are really good for the homeowner and something that maybe even people who already own homes might be interested in some of these things. Now, let me shift gears just a little bit. I wanted to ask you, has the pandemic really played a big impact on you guys, or is that something that's really been easily mitigated for you guys? I don't know.
It's been an interesting battle to go through for the last 2 years. Shortly after the pandemic hit and the world shut down in March of 2020, Habitat for Humanity International issued some best practices, and I won't call it mandates, but sort of a mandate that said that outside of our future homeowners working on sweat equity hours, and our regular construction volunteer crew, that we cease hosting any volunteers outside of those two groups in the assistance of house building. The other part of that that affected our, well, two other big issues that factored into our house building was a lot of the funding that we had accessed prior to the pandemic had shifted their focus from affordable housing to anything but affordable housing, but everything that was related to pandemic relief, if you want to call it that, whether it was food insecurity, medical care, whatever it may be. And I'm not saying that those aren't valid things to shift funding to. It just took it away from the affordable housing side of the equation and made it even harder for us on the fundraising side. The other thing that affected us in our house production is the cost to build has increased 46% during the course of time throughout the pandemic.
Wow, that's a giant leap in the cost of construction.
It is, and just as a for instance, pre-pandemic, our cost to build a three-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath, ENERGY STAR-certified house was about $67,000. During the pandemic and to where we're at right now, that cost has increased to about $86,000 per house for the exact same house.
Hmm. Is that mostly just through lumber costs, or is it everything?
It's everything across the board, because once other vendors saw that, well, the folks that buy and sell lumber can get, instead of $3 for a stud, it's $8 or $9 for a stud, everybody else raised their prices as well. Hmm. And so that really has impacted our ability to provide homeownership opportunities, but we're still working our ways through that, and thankfully we've been able to do some other things along the way. In addition to our new house construction part of our ministry, we've done some home repairs, and most of those home repairs have been for veteran-owned properties. We had some funding last year that came through Habitat for Humanity International's Veteran Build Department that was a grant through the Home Depot Foundation. And we had $30,000 that we spent on five veteran home repair projects from June through August of last year. And then we received funding again this year for doing similar projects. And all five of those were roof work projects, roof replacements. We've also done some handicap accessibility projects, so construction of ramps and those kinds of things for folks to be able to get in and out of their houses easier. And then we just finished, we didn't stop building new houses. It just got harder. But we just dedicated, on Monday, on President's Day, we dedicated two brand new house construction projects for the first time in just a little over 2 years. Our previous new house that we dedicated, was December 17th, 2019.
Wow. I know that's a long gap for you guys to not have been able to dedicate a new home. So I'm glad that you were able to, finally make that happen again here recently. That's great. That's good news. So do you think that maybe we're beginning to come out of this for you guys, or getting back to the way things used to be, or is it a new normal that we're getting ready to live into, or how do you think that's going for you guys?
Well, I think, we all face a new reality now even though we're hopefully are coming to the end or rounding the corner on the worst parts of our pandemic that we're facing, our side of the reality is we have gotten to be more creative in what we do as far as seeking additional partnerships for future projects, going some non-traditional routes to explore opportunities that we've not explored before. Through some different grant opportunities and that kind of thing. We still build ENERGY STAR certified houses, so they're, not only is the homeowner getting an affordable house on the monthly payment side of it, their utility bills are drastically lowered too because of just the way we build our houses. The other part that's come back, albeit slowly, but it is coming back, is the volunteer, being able to host outside volunteers. We started June of 2021, being able to host small groups again. So four groups of four or five, what we call casual volunteers, in addition to our regular construction volunteer crew or my paid construction staff. And so that's helped as well. It's just kind of reactivating everything and getting us back up to where we had been house production wise has been a struggle, and we're still dealing with that and figuring out ways to get us back to where we're actually building more houses now or in the future than we had been pre-pandemic.
Good. Well, I'm glad things are starting to look up, and I'm glad you're starting to be able to have some volunteers again. Are there other ways that people can support you if they can't volunteer yet?
Well, you know, one of the things that I get asked that question a lot, and the thing that right now that has hindered our house production more than anything else is the lack of funding. So, and that's compounded even more because of the increased cost to build than, you know, pre-pandemic versus where we are now. It kind of sounds weird, but if we had more money, we could build more houses, but that's exactly right. You know, we are working in a two-house build in the city of Ashland. We had a piece of property that was donated to us by a family, and the piece of property is large enough to build two houses on. So our goal is to raise the funding to build both of those houses simultaneously. In round numbers, it'll cost us about $186,000 to build those two houses. We have $31,000 in place, and we really want to make a big impact whenever it comes to starting work in our, if you want to call it, the new counties in our service area, Boyd County being one of those counties. And we're really excited about the opportunity to work there and provide a homeownership opportunities for two new families in that community. So we're looking at, because we're a Christian organization, we are having some discussions with the churches in the Ashland Area Ministerial Association about possibly helping sponsor one of the two houses. And then the other opportunity that we, and we've done this before in the Cabell County, Huntington area, we've done what we've called a bankers and brokers build, and credit unions have partnered in with that as well. And so we're in the infancy stages of talking with some of the financial institutions in the Ashland, Boyd County community about partnering with us and providing the house sponsorship monies for the second house at the location where we have in Ashland.
That's exciting. I want to wish you all the best as you're trying to raise that money and organize how that's going to happen. I'm excited to see you guys starting to expand and to serve more people. I want to say thank you to David Michael, the executive director at Habitat for Humanity of the Tri-State, for being our special guest on our Community Matters interview today. If you missed any portion of this interview and you'd like to hear the whole thing, you can find it online at walkfm.org. And of course, if you are part of a church or an organization that's doing something to bless our community, I'd love to talk to you as well. Send me a message at communitymatters@walkfm.org. And who knows, maybe next week I'll be talking to you on our Community Matters interview. For now, my name is Kyle. You're listening to Walk FM, and I hope you're having a wonderful day.